Welcome to our, well, I can say little gathering. Sometimes it's little, sometimes it's big. We never know. For something ordinary, many people will come. For something special, sometimes people are interested, sometimes not. Special things mean that you're dealing with topics beyond the realm of the ordinary pace of life. Our problem is that people have no higher aspirations beyond simply maintaining from day to day. This is an enormous cultural problem that's afflicting human beings today. Not only do they have no awareness of anything beyond the ordinary, but also they're quite proud that things generally have never been better. They generally have a lot of pride that the way the world is now is the pinnacle of human development. Yes, they'll admit to some problems, but generally people feel that society, culture, science, technology is all revealing that never before have people been more free, more comfortable, more luxurious. In this way, people have a lot of pride, even though they don't know it. And that pride in their so-called achievements of society today makes them very closed to any kind of ancient knowledge. Somehow or other, everybody has this false feeling in their gut that the ancients didn't know what they were doing. They had so many diseases, they had so many wars, they weren't free. But now, everyone is free from disease, yes. Everyone is free from war, yes. Everyone is politically free? Yes. These are the sentiments today. But what happens when you actually analyze the quality of life today? What do you find? You find that you go to the store to buy fresh water. You pay a premium if you want fresh fruits and vegetables without chemicals. You pay special for natural health remedies. In other words, all the ordinary things that someone would take for granted even 100 years ago, you have to pay special for now. Real water, real fruit and vegetables, organic whole wheat bread. Everything you pay special for to get it free from chemicals. Whereas 100 years ago, there was no such thing as all this chemical medicine, chemical food. But now everyone has advanced so much. Where does this pride come from that things are so good now or things are all right? When you analyze it, you find it quite ridiculous. Just like disease. I'm sure so many of you have been taught in school that all the great plagues of the past have been eradicated. Smallpox, bubonic plague, all these things that disturbed the Middle Ages. Now, human beings are, through science, are free of all these things. Malaria, tuberculosis, all these things. Science has conquered. So on the one hand, you're thinking that. Meanwhile, your same scientists, they're busy cooking up these things in laboratories for chemical warfare. So on the one hand, yes, we've conquered disease. But on the other hand, making the diseases. On the one hand, people think we're so much more comfortable. We have televisions, videos, computers, so many gadgets. On the other hand, everyone is so full of anxiety. Their life is so complicated. Everything you get, every gadget you get has seemingly infinite variety of controls and things to play around with. From your cell phone to your video machine to your video camera, especially your computer. Most people, they just use 10% of all the full extent of their gadgets. People don't understand how complicated and stressful their life has become. They can't see themselves. They don't understand what they're doing. And also they can't understand how to live a peaceful lifestyle. They have no idea how to even keep the body and mind healthy, what to speak of, dealing with something beyond the body and mind. They go to sleep so late, and they try to get up as late in the morning as possible. They abuse their bodies in so many ways in order to get so-called pleasure. They become intimate with strangers. They drink so many things, eat so many things, even taking chemical substances, anything somehow or other to get some pleasure, never mind the future effects. So you wonder why people are so stressed out, that they can't see it. This is the problem with materialistic lifestyles. When you're into it, you can't see all the destruction that you're causing your body and mind. And the worst problem is you can't see the destruction you're causing to your spiritual chances for spiritual awareness. Today we're feeling healthy. Today we're feeling like things are all right, not too many problems. Tomorrow we're old men and old women, defeated, our backs bent over, watching our savings erode in the bank. Watch the government's promises to give you so many benefits when you're an old person. Watch it all being swept away, and you're wondering, what will the future be? There must be more to human life than this. But we refuse to study the examples of the ancients because we are convinced things have never been better than they are now. Just like now, coming to New Zealand is what, 100 and so TV channels? Yes. How many? 100+ television channels. Through the cable or satellite or something, it's coming. So people think, whenever in the past did a people have access to 100+ television channels? Now, never mind the quality of the information you're getting. The whole point is, never before have they had 100 TV channels. This is advancement. I'll never be bored. Just like right down here on Courtney Place, there's a whole row of cafes. So, what do most people feel when they see a whole row of cafes? They feel, wow, such variety is available to me. I'll never get bored because there's so many of them. One weekend I can go to the Turkish, the next weekend I can go to the Chinese, the next weekend to the Malaysian, the next weekend to the Thai. And if you're really fast, you can hit like 3 or 4 in one night. So generally, let's sit. Anyone make yourself comfortable? Would you like a cushion? All right? Okay. So generally, the more that people see of things, the better they feel the opportunities for enjoyment are there. Courtney Place, 20 cafes, happiness must be there. Television, 100 channels, happiness must be there. many nightclubs. Happiness must be there. So people are trying to accumulate more and more in order to have better possibilities for happiness. And in this way, they become more and more stressed. And gradually they get older and older, and they never find what they're looking for, but they don't tell anybody that. How many of your parents or grandparents have ever told you, it's just not there, forget it? Anyone here? Did your parents or grandparents tell you that? Yours did?
Mm-hmm.
What? Your parents?
Yeah.
This is Emily. She's from Oregon. What did your parents tell you?
There's no answers.
Oh, there's no answers.
It's not there.
So what did they recommend you do since there's no answers? That's an answer, isn't it, that there are no answers? Just look. Her parents told her, just search anyway, even though there's no answers. I mean, didn't you question when they told you that? Wait a minute now. You're my parents. You're telling me there's no answers, but I should search anyway. So what's the point of that? Did you ask them?
No. Well, I was thinking about their experience.
Oh. So they really didn't believe there's no answers. They just felt that they hadn't found any.
Yeah.
But you can go try.
Yeah.
Even though you probably won't find. Yes, this is the best that parents can do for their children. Well, you just have to find your own way. But they never tell you it's impossible for happiness in this way. They never tell you that. They just say, well, we lived our life, you live your life. But rarely do parents point blank tell their children, it's all an illusion. We're old and gray now, and we realize we missed the boat, or the boat never came in. No. Parents like it when their children are materially ambitious and materially vibrant. Because they don't say it, but what is going on is that they're thinking, well, I failed, I'm old, but my child, he or she, they're now young adults, and they've got that life, that enthusiasm. They'll be successful. But if you analyze, why should the children be successful? The parents have failed. The children are doing the same thing as the parents. They'll fail also. What is it that everyone wants? Lasting happiness, real happiness. And when they're old, they realize, this is the thing that's eluded me. In spite of all my stress and hard work and all my attempts to enjoy, I couldn't get my fingers on it. They like to see their kids get involved in the same rat race. Oh, you're having, especially when the kid is having his own family, the parents feel like a new lease on life. Our line is being extended. It's like, this is Chivikram here, this is his wife, Samukhi. So they're expecting a child. So his parents, they're happy. Yes, our line is increasing. Is this the first grandchild? Yes, but still, it's your first one. So they're happy, yes. The family line is increasing. More impetus is being spent in the material world, according to their vision. In this way, things go on and on with no change. People have no time to consider any other options. So what is it that we want to do? What is our solution? You came here to hear something different. Our solution is very sane. Why not consider the possibility that ancient peoples had much more knowledge than we have today? That is the basis of Krishna consciousness. That the ancient Vedic people of India, they had knowledge that we're not the body, that we are spirit soul. They had knowledge of the supreme soul, the source of all consciousness and the source of all matter. They had knowledge of life on other planets. They had knowledge of extraterrestrial civilizations far more advanced than anything we know about today. Particularly, this ancient knowledge points out that the most intelligent humans were in the past, not today. If you study the Vedic literature of India, you'll see that the people of today are known as very underdeveloped, very deprived. Just the opposite of what everybody thinks. You can just get a can of Coca-Cola and think, did anybody in the past ever have anything like this? But then if you analyze what Coca-Cola is, you can see that it was everyone's great fortune in the past. They didn't have it. Just pour some on your car and watch what happens. Leave it there for a while. See what happens to the paint. So, it does take some humility to consider Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness does not simply belong to the ancients, however. The knowledge of Krishna has nothing to do with time. It is beyond the threefold divisions of time. The threefold divisions of time, past, present, future, everyone knows that. If we're going to get real knowledge, then actually we've got to get beyond the modern trip and the ancient trip. So Krishna consciousness is based on getting real information that's not corroded by time change. Now you wonder, how could that be possible? Everyone I know is caught in the grip of time. How is it possible that I can get knowledge that is not affected by time? Who is there that's not affected by time? Everybody I know has a past, a present, and a future. How can it be that there can be knowledge beyond time? To understand these things, we have to hear from the right sources of knowledge. Hearing gives you so many perspectives, just like you can hear where the parties are in Wellington, you can hear what the score of the rugby match is, or you can hear where there are job opportunities. All that comes into your ear. But that is not the real purpose of your ear. The real purpose of your ear is meant to hear where is there knowledge beyond the influence of time. So that was the real luxury of the ancient Vedic people of India. And they left us monuments to that knowledge, not in stone like the pyramids or the Sphinx. They left us monuments in the form of the Vedic literature. In these ancient spiritual texts, you get the world's most expansive, comprehensive spiritual knowledge. Revealing to you all things that you never could understand on your own. Once you start understanding that intelligent human beings have been existing on this planet for thousands and millions of years, then the whole perspective changes. You understand. Things aren't very advanced today. What do people know today? They think they're the body. They don't know that they're not the body. That's just the beginning of spiritual life, to understand you're not the body. But people today make that into a great achievement. Wow, I've just understood I'm not the body, I'm something spiritual. So this is very rare. It's like winning the World Cup or something, but actually from the Vedic point of view, it's very, very elementary. Once you understand you're not the body, the next thing you want to understand is, well, what do I do? If I'm spirit, what do I do? So the Vedic literature of India presents spiritual culture, how society works together how everyone in society works together to increase the spiritual development. That we have no idea of. We don't have any idea how to do that today. Basically, life today is every person for themselves. And you may have a family that helps you for a while, but these days, families don't stay together. So you don't even get the temporary benefit of a family alliance. You know, people come together, they separate, they may marry, they live as partners, you know, they have an affair, they go this way, they go that way. Everything is very chaotic these days because people have no idea what the purpose of the society is. If I ask you, what's the purpose of New Zealand society, what will you say? What would you say? Don't have a clue. What would you say?
Live and die and be happy.
Live and die and be happy. And what would you say? Yeah. What would you say in the back? No. Not a clue, huh? We can ask Emily. She's a Yank, but we'll still ask her. What's the purpose? Now, she came over here on a skiing trip, so she would think the purpose of New Zealand society is to provide skiing. But she didn't get any because it was a warm winter. So instead she started coming here. There was no snow, so she figured, I'll try this. Yes. What is the purpose of society? Well, let's put it this way. If you're living in a society and you don't get money, then you're angry. You can tolerate anything, but you have to have money. That's actually the purpose of society, to give everybody the hope of getting money. And when people get money, then they think, I'll have a chance to be happy. Just like our nice guest here, he said, the purpose of life is to live and die and be happy. That's as we've all been taught. But you see, there's a contradiction. Live and die and be happy. As long as death is stalking you, how can you really be happy? It's like someone has a gun pointed at your head, and you don't know when they're going to pull the trigger, but they just tell you, okay, just go be happy. Well, I have this gun pointed to your head. You don't know when the trigger is going to be pulled, but never mind, just be happy. Huh?
Well, I think, really, if you think like that, well, then it's more than you're afraid to live, not to die, because you know what's coming.
Okay, that's a good point. So, does that mean if you're aware that at any moment the end can come, that means you're afraid of dying, or does that mean that you have knowledge?
Everyone knows it.
This is a good point. But do they act like they know it? Why not? Why do you think that?
Maybe an illusion.
Ah, maybe an illusion. And what could be the illusion?
They don't want to
die. But does nature listen to them? They die, right? So what's to make of this? On the one hand, we don't want to die. On the other hand, we're dying. So is it wrong to think about reality, that any moment I can die? Is that being weak or is that being strong?
It doesn't come in that way. It's just on how you want to take it, I think.
I see. So you're saying that it's up to you whether you want to think about it or not. Now, is there a better result that can come if you think about it, or it doesn't make any difference?
Doesn't make any difference.
It's just nothing you can do about it, right? So you're sure about that?
No.
Ah, not sure. I see. Then, well, then you must not be living life to the max, then. Because you're having these doubts that maybe there is some way to deal with this problem. Materialists would criticize you in that way. Just realize that life is short, play hard, grab all the gusto you can get, and don't worry. When your time comes, it comes. That's it. But they would tell you, but you're becoming neurotic, you're becoming worrisome. How are you going to enjoy if you start thinking that there might be some way out of this? There's no way out. Just understand there's no way out and get on with the party. It's like Emily, she's a ski instructor. So there's a you probably have the saying here in New Zealand, but there's a popular ski slope slogan in the USA, no guts, no glory. So people, they can apply that to life. Yeah, we're all going to die, there's no way out, but just go for it. Just go for the glory. If you've got any kind of backbone and character, you just get into that enjoyment. Never mind what happens. That's the real solid person, the real balanced person who just gets full on into feeling, experiencing, being, touching, tasting, loving, hating, the whole way. He just gets into it. Even though he or she knows the end could come at any moment. This person is so tuned in that they don't even care. They don't even notice time passing. They just are totally absorbed in the enjoyment. How's that sound?
Sounds good. But then it sounds like you see it from just your point of view.
I see it from personal point of view.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's make an example. This is your friend here, yes? No matter how she looks at you, you're still aging, right? Now, she may say, well, I'm trying not to notice this, but does that stop him from aging? Did you know him when he was very young? So, whether you want to say it or not, he's getting old. Whether you want to see it or not. So that means, regardless of what personal point of view we have, certain things are happening. Like now you're a handsome, strong man, but whether she has this personal view or that personal view, in a short time your back will be bent over and you'll be wrinkled and bald head and wondering if they're importing Viagra into New Zealand. Yeah? So, it doesn't matter what she thinks, these things will happen, you see? So what we're discussing today is what's actually happening, never mind how foolish we are. Certain things are happening. Just like the wind in Wellington blows, no matter what you think. You may wake up in the morning, you know, thinking, oh, I'm feeling good or I'm feeling bad, but the wind is blowing. Similarly, no matter what we think, the body is getting old, it's breaking down. And that is what destroys our chances for pleasure. Just like now in the USA with this drug Viagra. You heard about it? Oh. It's the latest gift from science. You heard about it? It's the most precious gift of science to man in the end of the 20th century. What does it do? It allows men in their 70s to function in their procreative capacities with great vigor. So it's hailed as the wonder drug. It allows old men who thought they were over the hill, it allows them to participate in things that are normally done by healthy bodies. It gives them a new lease on life, according to what they say. So this is being hailed as the wonder drug. But there are some risks. There's some risks attached to it. Some old men, they're having heart attacks because they're actually too old to be carrying on in that way. But they get so enthusiastic, they take the Viagra drug, and in the process of their carrying on, they just have heart attacks because their system can't handle it all. But what is the public saying? Never mind, those are just freak events. Let there be massive distribution of this drug. It's the greatest gift to humanity. They're smuggling it now into Australia, probably New Zealand too. It hasn't been approved by the government, but you can understand the people want it. Yes, yes. So what if some people are dying? That's just a fluke. The main thing is this will give you another chance. So this is basically how we're trained to live our lives. Just take a chance on pleasure. Even when you're 75 years old, there's still hope. We get caught up in these illusions, as you say, and we don't notice the same basic facts are there. The body is breaking down. The mind's breaking down. Therefore, how can we get real pleasure? Have you ever watched old ladies? Do you ever think, soon I'll be like them?
I'm not sure I would.
Why? But it will happen, yes? But you're thinking, if you think about it, you won't enjoy the short time that you have, right?
Well, I haven't been wondering my thoughts.
Why not? Natural. Aging is natural.
But people live for longer than they should nowadays. And then the mind deteriorates past what it should. My grandfather died maybe two weeks ago. And what I remember of him, he should have died then, but he went into such a state, you know, because the modern medicine kept him alive. He was basically, you know, he lost his mind.
When you were, it's a very educational experience watching what your grandfather went through. Did you think that will happen to me? Or may one way or another, it will happen to me. Maybe not that exact thing, but something like that.
Well,
So, you feel that it's destructive to happiness to think about these things. That seems to be a common point. What do you say, Emily? It's destructive to happiness to think about these things? When you're out there on the slopes with your snowboard or skis or whatever, do you ever think about these things or just too busy whizzing along? So is that the whole point? To keep whizzing along so you don't think of these things, right? You try the snow in Oregon, then you think, well, I've done it in Oregon, Colorado. What, Vermont too?
No, I haven't been.
But you figure, why not the snow in New Zealand? That would be special snow, special happiness. So we want to have a full concentration on happiness. And we fail to see that the very thing that our happiness is based on is breaking down, the body. Now, the question is, if a society shields you from that reality, is it a good society or not? The way our society is arranged today, people are shielded. They don't think about these things. They think about everything except these things. How many of you have friends and relatives who, after they greet you, they say, hey, how you doing in dealing with the birth and death problem? Hey, how are you doing with the, you know, how are you solving the old age problem? Hey, you figured out a way to stop your next death yet? No, no one says like that, right? When someone asks you, how are you doing, what do you say? Oh, fine, okay. Do you ever think about what all that means? I'm saying I'm fine and I'm okay. What does that mean, though? At the moment. So you see, in this way, everyone's bought off at such a cheap price. I'm okay for the moment. For the moment, I'm handsome, I'm beautiful. For the moment, I have a nice relationship with someone. For the moment, I have a job. For the moment, you know, the banks are intact, and for the moment, the currency is worth something. For the moment. This is how our society has molded us. We've sold ourselves so cheap, you know, it's amazing. And then, when we read the ancient literatures, it's like the ancient Vedic literatures of India that give us Krishna consciousness. When we read them, we might think, well, they're just getting me to think about things that are just ruining the pleasure. I don't want to think about getting old. I don't want to think that I'm going to die. I don't want to think that it might all be an illusion, that I'm crazy for just being absorbed in all this stuff. No, I don't want to think about that. Being negative. This example I like to give. I'm sure everyone here has been on an airplane to Christchurch or somewhere, Auckland. Now, when you get on the airplane and you fasten your seatbelts, before you take off, what happens? The flight attendant, he or she, makes an announcement. In the unlikely event of an emergency, I'm going to tell you, you know, how to get the oxygen masks. You've experienced this here. I'm going to tell you where the cushions are under your seat, you know, life cushions, life preserver cushions. I'm going to tell you where the exits, you know, they always point, you know, like, you ever see the flight attendants? There are two exits in the rear, and one in the back, and the oxygen mask will come down. And they, you know, they just go, oh, this whole, you know, drama, you know? So, how many of you have ever protested? Stop! Stop! You're being negative! Did you do that? Did you protest? On your trans-Pacific flight, did you protest? Stop! Stop! You're spoiling the pleasure. I'm on my way to New Zealand to experience perfect snow. That's all I want to think about, and you're giving me these safety announcements in the unlikely event of an emergency. I don't want to hear it. Did you stop them? You stop! You're being negative, spoiling my concentration on happiness. No, what do you think? You think, well, they're just trying to protect me. Even though I don't listen. It's like, you didn't listen, but you figured they're trying to help, right?
Well, it doesn't really matter, because if something goes wrong, you're going to be dead anyway. So really, there's oxygen now. There's little cushions in the left, so you could be dead.
You could be a survivor. Sometimes people do survive. See, this is what you call the difference in attitude. She would be listening to all the details. Whereas you're Mr. Cool. When you're dead, you're dead. I don't have to know all this. What about if she was with you? Would you listen just for her benefit, even though you're cool?
Well, I won't be flying the plane, so if it crashes, I'll be dead. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. I can answer anything.
No. So, you wouldn't even think about surviving it. Sometimes they're survivors. Alright, so you got it all figured out. That's good. Now, as you said, there's a life of happiness, and then there's death.
So how do you put those things together?
That's a good idea. Put them stuff together.
Hmm. So what do? For example.
You love.
Uh-huh. But then.
Then you do.
Yes, and then.
You love.
Oh. You live after death?
Yeah. I do believe in God.
Mm-hmm. So I give an example. I believe that there's somebody in charge of Wellington. There's a mayor of Wellington? Yeah. I believe there's a mayor, but when it comes to how I'm going to act in this city, I'll just do whatever I like. I've decided that the maximum pleasure for me in Wellington is to drive my car on the sidewalks and run everybody over. I just feel that's the, you know, that's just where it's at, you know. I do accept there's a mayor. But I just feel that I'm tired of these people just, I'm tired of people. That's number one. Number two, they're just going to die anyway, like my friend here says. So, you know, I might as well just help them, you know, accept reality, you know. They're going to die anyway, so I don't want them to get negative. I notice a lot of people today are getting negative. They're getting full of anxiety. So I figure I should just help them, you know, to live a life free of anxiety by hitting them with my car before they start to think too much. You know, with the economy going down, international strife, we don't want people being in a, we don't want people thinking too much. Therefore, if I just run them over with my car, it puts them out of their misery. What do you say to that? What would you say if I was... Would you like to meet me on the sidewalk when I'm in my car?
I would have a car.
But I do! So this is the point, that if I accept that there's a mayor of Wellington, I should try to understand what are the codes of proper behavior in Wellington. Otherwise, I don't really accept there's somebody in charge. So this is a big problem with our so-called civilization today, that even people who say they accept some kind of supreme authority, they have very little idea what actually are the principles by which human beings are supposed to live. Not only human beings, but all species of life. So this kind of knowledge in the ancient Vedic civilizations of India was considered essential. Don't make a move, don't do anything without getting complete knowledge of how you're supposed to be behaving in the cosmos. And that kind of knowledge can only come from the source of the cosmos. That's where you get to Krishna. The Vedic texts of India present Krishna as the cause of all causes, the source of all energy. And if you take your knowledge from Krishna, the source of everything, then you can understand everything. Even how to conquer repeated birth and death. Yes, the next life is a fact. But how do you get a next life? If you study Bhagavad Gita, you'll find that according to your consciousness at the time of death, you get your next body. It's not guaranteed you'll be a human. If you've absorbed your life in animalistic lifestyles, at the time of death, your consciousness is noted, and you get an animal body in your next life. So these things are not known by people, yet they consider. We have culture, we have civilization. Actually, the only thing people really know about today is how to be in anxiety about money. What's happening with the economy? That is the god of society today, the economy. Is it going up? How long will it stay down? Human life is meant for something else. Therefore, our proposal is we can best understand how to organize our individual life and how to organize society by taking knowledge from the ancients, particularly the Vedic literature of ancient India. It gives the best idea, the best knowledge, because the knowledge is not coming from anybody under the influence of time. Anyone who's under the influence of time means they don't know what they're doing. There's an art, a science, and culture how to become free from the influence of time, how to live beyond time and space. That kind of knowledge is the most precious knowledge. But we have to have some desire, some hunger. Otherwise, if we just want to live life taking one day at a time, well, that's just the way it is, you know. I'm getting old. If I think about it, I get depressed. Maybe I shouldn't think about it. Either way, whatever your personal approach, still the same result is you're getting old. The intelligent approach is to think, as long as my body is breaking down, I cannot be materially happy, because material happiness is based on the body. Therefore, let me use my short life to find the kind of happiness that doesn't depend on the body. That's the way I was thinking. Some years ago I was thinking, because I prided myself on being a pleasure lover. So I said, well, if I'm really a pleasure lover, then I should figure out how to get the kind of pleasure that's not ruined by old age and death. Otherwise, you know, I can't consider myself a pleasure lover. So that's how I started considering Krishna consciousness, simply from the pleasure-loving point of view. So wait a minute. Why should I start chasing pleasure that's going to end? If I'm really a pleasure lover, I've got to use my short life to try to catch the pleasure that has no end. And I figured, if I fail, well, so what? But if I gain, oh, that's big time. So that's how I started studying Krishna consciousness. I figured, you're going to lose your life anyway, so why not use it to find out the superior thing, the supreme thing, and if you make it, you make it big time. And if you lose, well, you're going to go down anyway. Therefore, I decided to pursue what is the best kind of knowledge. The best kind of knowledge begins by teaching you. You're not the body, you're spirit soul. It teaches you. According to your consciousness at death, you get another body. It teaches you there is a supreme consciousness. You are the tiny consciousness, and there is the supreme consciousness that includes you and everyone else. The purpose of spiritual enlightenment is to revive a relationship of pure love between the individual consciousness and the supreme consciousness. The supreme consciousness, Krishna, is also individual, but not individual like you or I. We are limited. Krishna, the supreme consciousness, is an unlimited individual with energies. So that is the beginning of the science of God. And a real human society organizes its people so that they will each have a chance for the perfect knowledge of the Supreme. Everything else is subordinate to that goal. But we don't have such a society today. Therefore, it's up to each individual to try to find the best thing, the best knowledge, the best happiness. And how can there be happiness when time is spoiling everything? That means we've got to find happiness beyond the reach of time. So, that's a short introduction to what Krishna consciousness is about. Any questions? do you think? Impossible? Oh, you very good. Ah, oh, that's nice. Ah. Oh. What do you think? It might be possible, or? Definitely.
Oh, I don't know, yeah.
What do you think, Emily?
Yeah.
So we just humbly ask that everyone investigate the possibility. Don't simply just take it that time is taking away your life. Yeah, so what? Another day. Sun goes up, sun goes down. So what? Yeah, so what? I'm going to get old. I don't want to think about it. Where's the happiness now? Can you help me find some happiness? If not, get lost. What's the use of you? You used to give me happiness, but you don't anymore. So you understand why I want to get rid of you now, right? You used to give me happiness. You don't anymore. You've lost the loving feeling. It's the way it is, you know. Before, you used to give me pleasure. There's no more pleasure in your fingertips anymore. Sit, you know. Move on. Yeah, I used to like you. I mean, you know, it was a learning experience. You know, we almost had it. Real happiness. We almost had it. But, you know, such is life. You just got to keep moving, keep experiencing, keep growing, keep learning. You'll be all right. You'll meet a lot of people. I'll meet a lot of people. We'll have our ups and downs. Yeah. It's the way it is, you know. Keep moving. So that's how people think today. We'll just somehow or other try to enjoy ourselves. I mean, I'm not a bad person, so surely I'll be happy. Who here thinks they're a bad person? Everybody thinks, in my own way, I'm kind of nice, right? You think that way, yes? In your own way, you're kind of nice, right? Yeah. Yeah, you too. Yeah. Who would think? No one here thinks I'm a... Even if you've done things that you think you shouldn't have done, you still think, well, you know, still I'm good in spite of all that, you know? Those are just weak moments or special circumstances. In this way, people live so blindly, as if there's no ultimate law recording all the reactions to their actions. That's the law of karma. That's a bigger subject than we can get into right now. So what we do here, we just try to wake people up a bit so that they begin to see the possibilities, that they can get real knowledge. And that real knowledge begins with understanding you're not the body. And the culmination of real knowledge is to understand Krishna, the supreme individual. And what is our relationship with Krishna? The Sanskrit word Krishna means all attractive reservoir of pleasure. Just like our guest here was saying, he believes that there is a God. But we must have knowledge of this God, if you want to use that word. Otherwise, how is our life defined in relation to God if we don't know anything about God? Just like your friend there, you know about her, yes? Mm-hmm. This must be some things you like, yes? Qualities, smile, the way she does the things she does, yes? Okay. But we have to have at least that much knowledge about God. Otherwise, it won't be a reality for us. So the quest of the human form of life is first to understand you're not the body, and then to get deep knowledge of God. And when you get the deepest, most complete knowledge of God, then you have Krishna consciousness. All right. So, question, Emily? So what do you think? Should he think about these things, or it's too much? It's his choice. You'll back him up no matter what he does, huh? Suppose he says, well, okay, I'm going to think about these things, and I want you to think about them too. What will you say? But suppose he says, yeah, I'm an individual. I care for you so much. I want to do the best thing. I want to get the highest knowledge because I care for you. I want you to get it too. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. He would recognize that, but he just want to do his best to give you the best kind of life. What would you say then? Good luck, you can try.
I'll support him. Mm-hmm. So it's another thing if I want to do it.
No, that's true. Yeah. So you'd have to convince her, huh?
That is
a very noble friend you have there. Valiant. Yes. We could all use such good friends. We could all do very nicely by having such wonderful friends. So, what's next on the schedule? All right, it's time for our Sunday banquet. No one's hungry. It's all right. We have more after the banquet, but that's all up to you. Well, thank you for listening so nicely. I hope I've said something that might be of some use to you. What do you think? Maybe? Okay. Yes? Well, thank you very much. I recommend that those of you who like to read, you have the most wonderful books which explain much better what I was trying to say. And even if you don't like to read, that's because you never found any books that deal with what we were discussing in a very pleasurable way. So whether you like to read or not, we have so many nice Krishna conscious books for you. All right, so I guess we'll all go have dinner. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.